O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to This is the Kingdom by Chris Brown, Jason Ingram, Pat Barrett, and Stephen Furtick. The song lists each of the Beatitudes, interjecting with a chorus that focuses on the kingdom of heaven. Very few notes comprise the main melody, lending a chant-like feel to the music and providing an accessible tune for worshipers.
This is the kingdom of heaven. Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In these verses, we have an incredible number of exhortations. And while they may appear to be a random string of imperatives at first, many commentators see the opening of verse 9 as laying out the central theme, and that is genuine love. I think that there's a good deal of confusion in our culture about what genuine love is and what it looks like. I came across an article a while back that asked the question, is it crazy to love a dog the way you love a child? You'd think the answer would be a simple yes, but that wouldn't require an article. This article was in Slate, and the author recorded an interview he had conducted with a family in which the mother, Carrie, said, "To me, my pets are like my children. I love them the same." The author was taken aback by that statement, and he asked Carrie to elaborate, and she did. She explained, "Dogs never become teenagers. It's a consistent relationship. The quality of their love for you doesn't change. They don't grow up and tell you that you're the worst. They don't move out. Even if you screw up, they don't hold it against you." Her husband, Mike, added, "Dogs are like kids, but without the drama or the attitude." This couple's conception of love is entirely self-referential. It's all about what they receive. But the biblical picture of genuine love is so much bigger, so much grander than this. Love, according to the Bible, abhors what is evil and holds fast to what is good. It is loyal, humble, seeking to outdo one another in showing honor. It is patient and action-oriented. Not only that, it seeks to do good to those who seek us ill. Our text tells us to refrain from cursing, repaying evil, or seeking revenge. The values expressed in this passage are powerful, beautiful even. And many have noted the parallels between Paul's statements here and Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. An ethicist named Peter Kraft notes that ethical statements such as these usually receive a positive reception. About them, he writes, "The whole world stares in an ecumenical orgy of agreement. But it is only in light of the gospel that these commands become anything other than a horrible burden. The gospel is the only thing that makes genuine love possible." Why? First, the gospel reminds us of how patient God was and continues to be with us. He was patient with us, not judging us in light of our sin, and he continues to be patient with us now, forgiving our ongoing flaws and failings. Second, the gospel forces us to be completely honest with ourselves. When we see ourselves in light of the gospel, we're confronted with two powerful truths. One, that we are hopelessly lost as anyone else on the planet. So no matter who stands before us, whether they are a brother or sister in Christ or not, whether they are a, quote, decent person or not, they are no more lost than we are. And second, despite the fact that we're sinners, we know that we're wholly loved and justified by God. Therefore, we have nothing to prove to anyone. Without the gospel, we feel the need to constantly prove our value and worth, making us want to only associate with, quote, respectable people. In the gospel, however, we see that the one who matters most loves us completely, so then we're able to show honor to all and come alongside those who are marginalized. And third, the gospel reminds us that there is a judge who will make all things right, but it's not us. We don't need to get even, because there is one who cares for us in this world who will make sure that there is justice. We can give place to the wrath of God because we know that he will repay. The cross shows us how seriously God takes sin and that he will punish it. As Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. The gospel promises justice and reminds us that we are not the ones who give it. Genuine love is only possible in light of the gospel, where we see God's love for us in Christ. Let's close now with this prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. O Lord God, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.